Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. And I'm so excited because in studio with us, we have Joshua Olatunde, and he is with TCI Solutions. And we are going to learn more from him about, kind of the mind of young people, which I think is such a great topic. Great to see you.
Absolutely. Thank
thanks.
You.
Well, thanks for coming in today. Mm-hmm. Joshua, first of all, tell people about your company.
Okay. Well, TCI Solutions, we are a workforce development company in the state of Minnesota. And essentially what that means is our job is to go out primarily on behalf of blue collar companies and jobs and somehow attract young people to jobs that folks have had now for 25 plus years, but they are ready to retire. Our job is to replace that workforce. And it's primarily with some low-income youth, or in the instances where it's not, still the youth of today. And that seems to be a daunting task, but we enjoy it.
Well, you know, let's talk about the number of people that are retiring, because there is just a huge group of, as you mentioned, baby boomers, mm-hmm. that many of them have held the same job forever. And how many baby boomers are still in the workforce, and how many millennials are coming into the workforce or in the workforce also?
Okay, well, on average with the companies that we work with, our baby boomers are somewhere around 35%. So you have a huge, huge population of people that are retiring, and they're looking to replace somewhere around 5 to 7% of those jobs with millennials. Very difficult to get a 19 or 20 year old to replace someone who's been doing that job for, you know, however many years. And so it's definitely not a 100% 35 to 35 replacement rate, meaning that not all 35% are leaving and going to be replaced by kids. But the idea is that they would find enough of them so that they can begin training them. And hopefully over the next 6 years or so, they can get these folks in mid-level management. So the time would move much quicker for the young people than it did for the ones who are leaving.
And my understanding is, too, that people that are looking towards retirement in the trades industry in particular, there just aren't people to take over to become a plumber or to become an electrician. And what I've heard is that us as parents, we are not encouraging our kids to perhaps look outside the box at a technical college or a community college where they can get a degree quickly and move into the workforce, that parents are the ones that want their kids to go to an Ivy League school. So can you speak to that perhaps?
Absolutely.
It all comes down to bad parenting, doesn't it?
Well, I can't say that. I think it comes down to exposure. My cousin, Dion Clark, he serves as CEO to the company, and I sort of oversee all the operations. And he, during his early years in the military, he's in the Navy and ultimately ended up being a nuclear physicist / engineer. But before that, he was a mechanic. And another word for a mechanic at that time was a knuckle dragger. Now, to say that your son or daughter is a knuckle dragger, most parents would look at that and think dirty face. It's just not a job that's appealing that you would want your kid to do. When you say electrician, plumber, when you say electrical line worker, you think danger or dirt, one of the two. And so for most parents, they don't encourage that because it's not a doctor or a lawyer or something like that. It's things that they've heard are more attractive in its perceived nature. So parents simply don't encourage their kids to do it. And to be quite frank, academia in and of itself doesn't either. Unless a student happens to take a career tech ed course and they stumble across it, it's not part of what you learn.
So the problem really then is bigger. I mean, not only in our homes, it's in our schools.
Mm-hmm. It's more systematic than it seems. I think the thing that we do often is we point our fingers at the kids and say, well, what's the matter with you? Can't you see the opportunity? And the answer is no, they can't, because we don't show it to them until, unfortunately, a company may come in from the outside. They're 17 or 18 years old by then. By that point, they've watched Twins games or Vikings games, and now they want to do that on YouTube, and they say that's what I'm going to do, and that's what they're sold on. And ultimately, many of them don't, and there's no foresight for what's next, and so they end up in a place where they work a job, but they never have that satisfaction they're looking for.
So let's talk about what we initially said, and that is the mind of young people, because mm-hmm. young people certainly have so many opportunities, but yet it's almost like they're stuck looking for that perfect opportunity for them to move forward in. Or I know that the rate of depression is going up in younger people, and yet there has never been a greater time for opportunities for young people.
Right. It's very catch 22, and it's a double-edged sword, because while opportunity seems to exist, other problems either manifest or they persist at a much faster rate than they had before. And so for us, the one thing that we have found with students, no matter the state we work in, they're all the same, largely. And what we found is that what goes on in their heads at home, that I would imagine as a parent, I don't have kids. I only have nieces and nephews, but as a parent, as a teacher, what you end up being faced with really has nothing to do with you as much as it does what these kids are getting outside of you. And they're getting a lot of it, because most kids have cell phones and most kids have technology. So they have access to a life outside of mom, dad, and school. Totally different world. And they often compare themselves to everyone who also participates in that world, only to find that they're trying to become the star within it, or they're playing catch up. So there's a certain level of self-esteem or depression that comes in. And that is why it requires us to work with students for 200 hours to get that out. And what we do, I can go into in some detail, but it's pretty rigorous stuff that causes some students to stay and others they don't.
Because they don't want to put in the time or the effort?
They don't
want
to put in the time, and they don't want the reality exposed, that the reality that they've created in their head is largely, it's this fairy tale that they have in their head that'll probably never come into its fruition. And it's hard to swallow when you've been, for example, you have inundated your Instagram account with pictures of you out at the basketball court, and you're shooting all the shots, and you truly believe, because you've gotten 100 likes, that one day you're going to be a LeBron James, for example. Mm-hmm. We know that the kid who doesn't play on the high school basketball team, that's probably not going to be their journey. But getting them to believe that is difficult, because you question their existence, because as far as they're concerned, that's all they've known, and they're going to do it.
And the reason why they're not on the team is... it requires the hours,
right.
and there's a boss and a coach, perhaps.
Yeah, or they may not be good enough.
Okay.
So it could be an amalgamation of that. They just don't want to put in the time. For some of our students, maybe they're not doing well enough in school. They're ineligible, mm-hmm. so they actually can't be on the team. There could be a lot of reasons, or they just like the idea of pretending more than actually doing the work.
Is that kind of our world today?
Yeah.
Is pretending?
I would hate to say the world, but I can say the students that we work with across the states we work in, and that would be Arizona, Minnesota, Illinois, and Virginia, and Florida. I would say, yeah, a great majority of them.
And what does that come from? Because they're online looking at other people's lives, like let's say the Kardashians or something, mm-hmm. and trying to live up to that?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I think it's trying to keep up with you're trying to keep up with not just the status quo, you're trying to keep up with what has been deemed as a cultural standard. We have many young women in our program, and we hear things that they allow boys to do, for example. We hear these things, and it's because they've been convinced by society. These are smart girls, but they've been convinced that this is what you do. And that's what they've learned to do. And then we have boys who are on the opposite end of that, who this is what being a male means. This is what being a female means. And unfortunately, for all of the rights that have happened, women's rights, all these things people have fought for kids to take advantage of, many of them, they don't know about it. And I would venture to guess if they did, it's not as important as the right now, as the instant gratification or satisfaction that I am important, and my friends say it or the world says it. So
getting back to this mind business, what are some of the points that you want people to know about?
Well, the first thing that we believe that all students have to work on, all young people, is our sell to companies in an awkward sort of way is that we would recreate, meaning my cousin and I, we would somehow recreate ourselves. We've had unintentional successes. We just so happened to go to this school. We so happened, but we didn't intentionally really do anything. And so our idea was if we can come back and take everything that we had learned from coaches, mentors, whoever came into our lives, if we can take and impart that on students, students would get something out of it. And so the first thing that we work on is what we call mental and emotional health. Now, we're not licensed social workers, but we do know what poverty looks like and what living in it is like. And so for us, mental health, I'll go back to what I said earlier, which is the perspective that many young people have. We used to, when I was a kid, a boy, fast food restaurants would have sales. It would be two burgers and two orders of French fries for $2. And we couldn't wait for that sale. My mom couldn't wait for it because for her, that meant that we had enough food for the week. My friends, as I got into college, their perspective was we should eat organic foods. It became the quality of food. It wasn't the quantity. And then as I moved on to graduate school, it became the clarity of the crystal. It was never the quality and the quantity because you always had the best and more than enough of it. When you do work with many young people now, it really is the mental and emotional health of, I need something right now. If it isn't income, then it's instant gratification. It's still the need that I have to have it right now. And that is a mental health issue because life doesn't happen overnight. I've had interns from the colleges locally and in other states who have wanted to be the managers. They wanted to run the company after working here for 2 weeks. And they truly thought that they should do that. And they couldn't rationalize why that wasn't their story. And so mental and emotional health, something that we spend plenty of time with our students, meaning when we begin developing what we call discrepancy in a young person's logic or an adult's logic, meaning when we look at the actual facts of who a person is and we say, well, I see what you're saying, but let me have you think about this. We're looking at what your goal is. We're looking at where you are. Does it really make sense that this is your decision for this goal? So the mental health is a huge part. And then it's the self-presentation. We live in a generation where kids text. They don't talk anymore. And for us, they surely don't know how to talk to their elders. And so self-presentation, how quickly can you identify yourself so that it's you make an impression, from a firm handshake to looking someone in the eyes to all the things that I learned in English class, they don't get anymore. And so for us, that's a big part of what we work on with our students. And then we have something that we call loyalty versus self-preservation. It's critical thinking. And it's the idea that many of our students do come from families where mom or dad has an idea of who you're going to be. And many of our students will throw away who they know they probably should be or can be for making the family happy or making their friends happy. And that's a reality that we found is in every kid, whether they're a wealthy kid that we work with, or it's this idea of, I don't know who I am, so I'm going to let the world tell me. And then I'm going to do my best job to try to be that, even though I really don't want to be that. And so self-preservation or loyalty to yourself versus to others, huge part. And if people could somehow get that, I think that the world would be filled with a lot more diversity in careers and creativity and who people actually are versus sort of the ceiling that's been placed on who they've been told they're supposed to be. In addition to that, there are many other things. Many of our students don't know how to add value to an employer or be a leader. Project-based learning is a huge part of our program. Our students have to get into their own minds, but recruit their teachers, their community, and they have to answer questions like, what is it that impacts students from doing well in school? Why don't I do well at home when I go home to mom? What is it? And students have to do case studies on that and present them as if they're presenting in front of an employer. And they do present it in front of an employer because our employers are the ambassadors to the kids. And so the employers check off whether or not the kids were just going through the motions or if they actually put effort into it. And if they had made a valid case or not. Many of our students, even the introverts, and all of our students go through Myers-Briggs assessments and that sort of thing. But many of them, they don't really know how to add value or lead. And for us, that's something that everyone should have at least minimal skills and understanding of how to do that, even if it's a meeting. You know, even if it's leading a phone call, they should know how to do that. And you can't do that without having a plan, without knowing what you want and why you are ultimately there. And so, you know, over the course of, like I said, hundreds of hours, students get inundated with mentors, guest speakers, worksheets, project-based learning, and things to really get them from where they are to where they need to be and they want to be. We get students all the time who say that they didn't realize what they didn't know until they didn't know it. And so by presenting it to them, the wheels get turning, and that's all we want.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great to hear all this great information. And we want to thank our guest today, Joshua Olatunde. He is with TCI Solutions. Fascinating conversations. Come back again sometime,
absolutely,
please. And we wish you well. And if people do want to get a hold of you, they can by...
They can feel free to check us out online. We're at TCISolutions.com. That's T as in Tom, C as in Cat, I as in Initiative, Solutions. That's plural with an S. So TCISolutionsLLC.com.
Great to see you. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.